Well, I'm going to be worshiping and preaching out of Matthew 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23, but a little bit of background. Jesus often taught in parables, which are stories that he told a story and then he didn't explain them. They kind of make you go, huh, or huh, or huh. Some people describe a parable like a jewel, like you turn it and you see many facets of it. I think he told these stories so they'd sit in you and you'd wrestle with them and find out where the truth was. Well, the people of God were never very good with this. So if you open up your scriptures, you'll see there's like 8 verses where the people, probably someone came in after Jesus explained the purpose of a parable, and then there's like 8 more verses where they explain it. Really? But I'm just going to read 1 through 9, which is just the parable. And just know that if you can't figure it out, you can tell it made the early Christians uneasy, because look at, they're trying to explain it. But there's beauty in it. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. You open up your Bibles and read through it if you want a little bit more. You should. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, but since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Now, I'm pretty sure when I first heard this story, I probably wondered, what does this have to do with sewing? I hear no needle and thread in this story. Because really, my experience with growing things was non-existent. If I had anything, it was, you know, that third grade project you all did, Dixie cup, dirt, seed, and you put it on the windowsill of the church or of your elementary school. Well, I'm sure I've confessed this before, but I did that, and my good friend Marcy and I were in the same class, and our cups sat next to each other, and hers grew, and mine did a little bit of growth, and then nothing. And her kept growing, mine was slow, hers was fast, and I finally said, "Marcy, why is yours growing?" And she said, "Maggie Lou, have you been watering it?" And I said, "Sure." And then she said, "Did you give it plant food?" She goes, "I brought some from home." And I said, "No." And then she said, "Did you see if it had enough sun and move it around?" And by that time, I had stopped listening because I realized that she had paid attention and her plant had grown and mine had done nothing. And I have to say, I come by this honestly. In my growing up, the only thing we planted in our backyard was zucchinis. My mother just scattered those seeds, and they grew. I once asked my mother, I said, "You must love zucchini," because I think it was the week we were eating stuffed zucchini, which I still know is zucchini. And she said, "Well, Maggie Lou, no, I really don't love zucchini. It's the only thing that grows without me having to do anything to it." And I thought, huh, I come by this naturally. And I bet that you all have stories about things growing well or maybe not growing at all or being in your grandmother's garden or watching something come into season at the farmer's market. You know, people remember stories. I mean, I can talk with folks and they'll come to me and say, "I love that sermon you preached a while ago." And I'll say, I don't remember it, but I try to look like I said, "Thank you very much." And they'll say, "Can you tell me something you remember about it?" And it's often the stories that people remember. It's not the grand, fine theological points I make. It's the stories that often kind of sit with them. And when I was a young woman coming out of seminary, there was this whole phase called narrative preaching. It's what the cool kids did. You'd read books about it, and then I realized it's just a fancy way of how do we tell stories that tell about the love and the life of God in our lives. See, Jesus knew the powers of stories. It wasn't something that was invented in the 90s. Jesus knew that stories make roots with people. And he could use simple stories to talk about the kingdom of God, to talk about life, to talk about love, to talk about the nature of God. And I believe when Jesus was telling this story to the disciples, especially, it was supposed to be a story of comfort. Because my guess, those disciples, those followers of Jesus, were feeling discouraged. They had gone out where Jesus had told them. They were preaching their hearts out. Some had great results, and sometimes they would preach and people would ignore them, or sometimes they would talk and people would kick them out of cities. And they went with the same message and the same enthusiasm, but different results, and they started wondering, maybe something is wrong with me. And Jesus is reminding them, it's your job to sow the seed. You should do it well and pay a little of attention, but it is God's work too. You do the seeds, and you have to trust the growth to God. You have to trust it to other people and other situations. See, the story is about readiness and the state of their heart, maybe more. Do your very best work and leave the rest to me. You plant the seeds, and ultimately, I'm in charge of the growth. And we have to be reminded of that, too, in sometimes in church. I will say we've raised some wonderful young people and youth in this church. We just had a fabulous confirmation class. A couple of them are here today. Loved having them. And we trust them to God. And they just never know when their pastor may call them up on a Saturday night and said, I hear you're home from college. I want to see you here. Yes, Pastor Maggie. Because we want to see where they've grown. We need their gifts. But we have to trust that others are raising the ones that we love and they are sharing their gifts with the world. I mean, I have to admit I've been thinking about gardens this week again. And I think about when I actually had some lawn and a garden in Winston-Salem. And the person next to me loved to work in that garden. She composted, she reseeded the grass, she worked on things, she watered, and it looked great. I used to say, when you come down that street, you'll see a really fabulous garden, and mine is the house next to it. Because I had great intentions. I had a whole collection of seeds in my basement. I had plants that had withered and died in there. Because what I hadn't been doing is I hadn't been doing that maintenance, and I hadn't been doing that growth. I had kind of let myself be stuck in my family history of inadequacy and not doing anything. But here's the truth, friends. We are not bound by how things used to be. Just because maybe you've had a dry season where it feels like you're not learning, here's the gift. You can come and start doing that work at any time. You can start working and learning and growing. And that is a beautiful thing. I think you have to work at it. It just doesn't happen. Well, I came to church and God just hasn't spoken to me yet. Like, really, have you been listening? Have you been praying? Have you been asking? Have you been trying things on to see where God might be? Because this is what I know. Growth is hard work. You have to actually work at it. It takes some dedication and some attention. And there will be seasons when things go really well, and then there's going to be seasons when nothing will grow. No matter how much you water stuff, it may feel like things are dead. But God may still be doing something, and that's what I hope for. So I don't know where you are in your season right now. Does it feel like you're growing old great? Does it feel like you got some quick growth, but if something comes, you're out of the game? Or does it feel like there's nothing? this gardener says, come to me and learn in a new way to grow and a new way to be. I was thinking about this idea of growth and discipline and work, and I thought about a story that I hate to admit that I learned in the last century. Because Lord have mercy, I'm that old. Okay, I don't want you to tell me, but I think some of you were not born when this story went on. 90? Okay, Riley was born then, but some of you were not. And I thought about a woman I learned about in Decatur, Georgia. And maybe you have heard of her. Her name is Tish Waller. You probably haven't. Tish Waller was a high jumper. And Tish Waller, it was about 1996 when I first learned about Tish Waller. Tish Waller used to be the kid that would run around the block in circles. Do you know that? Chasing her sister. And she really discovered, she got a little bored chasing her sister, but she was really good at running. So in junior high, she tried out for the track team, and her coach said that she was a biochemical nightmare. She was just no good. But she found her niche and what she wanted to do, and she kept on working at it. And in high school, she discovered high jumping. And she got to college, and she worked for a coach. I mean, in high school, she was really great. She'd always come about third in the NCAA. Is that the southern word for that? It's a high school sports thing. She was always third. She did really well. When she got to college, she was able to get to the Olympics, and she didn't place in 1996. Most people would have given up, but not Tish. She graduated with a really high-paying job. She was a kindergarten teacher. So she was a kindergarten teacher in Georgia, and she worked at her job from 7 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then from 5 to 9, she got another coach, and she worked on her high jumping. And she went to the Olympics again in 2004, and she didn't place. But she was there. And during that time, she also got another master's, and she got a big award. She was teacher of the year at kindergarten school, and then graduated to teach first graders. Now imagine during this time, she was teaching and practicing and jumping. There were no contracts for her, no glamour, just some really proud kindergartners and first graders. And this is what Tish Waller, a famous woman you may not have heard of, said. When I live like this, it doesn't give me a lot of free time. I have to sacrifice, and I know that's why I've been successful. It's what you have to do to be an Olympian. I am a role model as a teacher, and that's what I do, so I take on that responsibility. I try to show you can be an athlete and a student and make straight A's. I teach individualism and doing your best. I'm there for the students as a role model in the classroom. When on the track, I'm out there for myself, my fans, my coach, and all other athletes. She reminds me that you have to work and be disciplined to grow. And it doesn't always mean Olympic gold, but it means participating. And there may be times when it feels like you're not doing well, where there's not really growth, but I want to invite you to keep up the discipline. You could start praying on a fairly regular basis. I put on our Facebook page a devotional called D365.org. It has an app. You can go online. Why don't you start going into practice? Why don't you start cultivating your soil? Because what we hear, friends, is God will grow something in this church, will grow something in this city, grow something in this world so that the kingdom of God. So love and justice, and maybe most of all right now, hope may spring forth. May we have a season of hope in a world that feels a bit hopeless. May we show growth and strength and endurance during times of big growth and during times of fallow field. But may we remember that the God who sows the seeds is with us always, now and forever. Amen.